So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let's go to Max Egan of thecrowhouse.com. Max, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Nice to be on the show again.
Good. Nice to have you again. What has been going on down under? I know you've been making some moves, setting up a new environment, and I've listened to a couple of the recent podcasts, too. I've got to compliment you on those as well. But what has been going on down under?
Yeah, well, I've been moving. I've been pretty involved in a lot of stuff, really. I mean, trying to put together this project for this year that I keep mentioning on the shows, the Full Circle Project, getting that together. And I've just been very busy with moving, looking into different paradigms, ways of shifting the paradigm. So same thing, really, but just busy in amongst it, busy with moving and stuff. And it's just taking a lot to put this project together for this year.
I can definitely relate to that. I've pushed myself to the limits lately, Max, with the TV show, and we're doing three shows a week now, and just the running the network. I'm really maxed out, but no pun intended. But we have to just keep going and going and going. What is the Full Circle Project?
Well, that's I mean, I've been sort of hinting at what it is with people. I mean, it's sort of keeps morphing into new things, you know. So, I mean, we've got to shift the paradigm. We've got to start doing something different to what we have been doing. I mean, it hasn't exactly worked, you know. So we've got to find a way of doing it, find a way of connecting the communities. And I've been looking at it thinking, well, there's all these people who want to do alternate communities. And I keep saying, well, alternate communities won't work. We've got to do it within the community that we've got. So I'm working out sort of trying to find a way of getting people involved in their local community and creating an alternate community within their local community, which can eventually spread out to the rest of their community. Like not going somewhere else and doing it, but actually doing it within the community. So what I plan to do, it's going to be a series of workshops that sort of travel around the place. And it did start off as just a trip and a documentary film. But it's turning into a series of workshops, and it'll probably go for 2 days or possibly even three. And everywhere we go, and everywhere we go, we want to be able to have a day of workshops and art and local culture. We want to be able to feature the local culture everywhere we go, and local music, local food, local plants, all this sort of stuff. We want to have a day of tree planting as well. So we're reforesting the area that we are in, and creating a leaving a footprint there, but also leaving a template that the people can use to keep reforesting their area. And we also want to put forth a proposition to people to be able to form their own communities with their own currency within their own community, sort of thing. And the way this would work would be through gardens, putting in market gardens, basically put in three garden beds, and two garden beds you get to keep, and the third garden bed goes into a cooperative. Now, if you get like maybe, you know, 20 people, 20 families who want to do this, then they put all that into a cooperative and you go and sell it in the next town. So you're not competing with local business, and all of that money from that third garden bed that everybody gets in their cooperative, that all goes into an account, which becomes a bank for that community. So if you are someone who wants to do a house extension, well, suddenly you've got that bank that you've created yourself that you can have an interest-free loan from. All you have to do is pay the money back. So we create our own banking system within their banking system, with, you know, within this system. So it stops us having to borrow from central banking. So while we're still using this currency, it can just be a form of transition. You know what I mean? It isn't something that's going to last, of course, because we'd like to get away from money altogether. But create a way of, through communal gardening and supporting each other within your community, you can actually create your own banking system within your community, so you can access what is perceived to have value now, and you can access it interest-free. You know what I mean?
Wow. So, that's amazing. I mean, you're really coming up with some good, solid solutions, and the reason we started doing the Friday show, Max, we're just doing Saturday and Sunday at first, and then we went back to Fridays, is because people kept writing us, and they kept saying, we missed the old truth frequency, you've grounded your message, you're talking about preparedness, you're talking about things that are not super woo, you're not talking about the Anunnaki, you're not talking about ancient Egypt and things like that anymore. But I realized after December 21st being a non-event that we need to start focusing on the five-sense reality, and we need to start focusing on some change right now and some solutions just as you're offering. So even though I intended this broadcast to go in a more super direction for our regular Truth Frequency audience, I think that you're onto something. And I think what you're talking about is key, and I think it just goes to show, and it really just reaffirms to myself that I'm on the right path when I'm talking about what's going on with the government, when I'm talking about solutions, preparedness, et cetera, et cetera. Where has all this esoteric and consciousness information gone? Is it just something that needs to be put to the side because of the place that we are now physically?
Well, no, it isn't. It isn't that at all. I mean, people think that the 2012 event was a non-event. I don't see it that way at all. I think it was a very significant event. I think that the energy is different now. It's different. There's solutions in the wind. It's changed. We're in the period now that the mind's called no time, where we actually create the new reality. But we have to participate in that. It is a spiritual event. I mean, it's still a very spiritual understanding. You've got to be prepared to stand in the power that you've got. Now, recently, like, I've been getting so much flack for having the members of the One People's Public Trust on the show and for not showing any animosity towards them and not claiming this is the New World Order. People are telling me I've sold out, that I'm supporting the New World Order, because I've been saying that people need to look at this One People's Public Trust.
And they say the same thing about us because right. We went to the Genesis Communications Network. I mean, people are going to say whatever they're going to say.
And somebody even said that we don't talk bad about Jews enough. And so that's why they don't like us.
No. Not that they don't like us, that we're controlled.
Oh, yeah, that we're controlled.
We don't talk bad about Jews because we don't dribble over ourselves every 2 seconds and go, the Jews. You know, I mean, I understand the Israeli problem, the Zionist problem. I totally understand that. But the picture is much, much bigger.
It is bigger, but it's an interesting issue. And we can touch on that later. It depends on how long you want the show to go for.
But, let's go full 2 hours.
But at the moment, like with the One People's Public Trust, everyone's saying, oh, they're trying to bring in a cashless society, they're trying to do this, they're trying to do that. They're trying to prevent these things called CVACs and all this sort of stuff. Like, you know, it's this whole new system they want to introduce. I'm particularly not interested in that system. I've looked at the CVACs. I don't think that they'll work because, and all respect for the people in the trust, but what they've done with this CVAC system is they've sort of given everybody unlimited value. And I don't think humanity is actually ready for that. What they've tried to do is they've tried to put spiritual understandings and true freedom in legalese, in a legal document. And they've done a pretty good job of it. And it's a hard thing to do, to convey a spiritual understanding in legalese, you know. But that's one idea that they have. My interest in the trust is the one filing that frees us from the UCC system, filing that says that if I'm alive, I'm only answerable to the Creator. So even that filing enables you to do something like create this community system that I'm saying. If they say you can't do that because of different rates and different council stuff and different fines and all this, well, hang on. That all comes under the UCC law. That's all UCC stuff you're trying to throw at me to prevent me from putting in this alternate community within my community and from creating my own bank. That's all UCC stuff. But there's a filing within the UCC that says that if I'm alive, then I'm not answerable to the UCC. So, therefore, if you want to bring all that against me, you need to rebut that filing. I'm going to go off and do my garden now. And I'm playing by your rules to do this, okay? So go away. So that's what I like about the One People's Public Trust, is that filing. So imagine if you could do this. If you could start setting up these little these little banking communities, these cooperative banking communities that helped each other out, and then they expand and they expand and they expand. And then through that system, you could do something like introduce mathematically perfected economy, because they can't stop you now because this OPPT filing exists that says that if you be, you're only answerable to the Creator and you're not liable to their UCC system. You know, so
I do have to say, it sounds a lot like what the Knights Templar did. They went around and just basically built these little banking communities, and you were able to make a deposit in one part of the country, travel across the country, and then pick it up when you basically got over there.
Well, you know, while we are using currency, we can take control of the currency ourselves through this filing and through these community cooperatives. We can take control of, you know, I mean, I personally would like to see the end of all currency. I don't think we need it.
Right.
But while we're being forced to use it, we can separate ourselves from that banking system. And I'd like to see all of these groups come together. Everyone's arguing that their way is the right way, but I think everyone's got a piece of the puzzle. And if we put all this together, we can find a way through it. I think it's important that we do. And I think that's a lot of what this is. There's a real feeling of freedom. People want freedom. The system is laid so bare now. And people are starting to feel like they are free. So I think the December 2012 date was a very significant date. And I think we're going to feel this right up until the end of March here. And then I think from March to March is also going to be very, very significant. The whole next 12 months from March 2013 to March 2014. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting time. Because, you know, and it is still a very spiritual thing, Chris. I mean, all of this stuff, even wanting to do these gardens, you've got to have a spiritual understanding of yourself and a knowledge of yourself to want to do this, to want to participate in it, and to see how it could absolutely work. All you have to do is be prepared to think outside of the box and cherry pick from all the different movements and all the different, you know, the Zeitgeist movement and the OPPT and even the Venus Project, which I don't agree with because I don't agree with those type of cities. It just reeks of Agenda 21. I can see the purpose of it.
Right.
I can see why people like it. I can see if you're in a left-brain reality and you believe that's where humanity is going, then I can see that it has an attraction. So, you know, the people that are involved in the Venus Project, all the supporters of it, are good people who want change. But they need to think outside of the box as well. And we need to cherry pick through all of these movements and find out what works for all of us. But we need to implement change. I mean, everyone's scared of the New World Order, but, you know, we don't want the old world order. So what are we going to do? We've got to change the old world order in a way that isn't the New World Order. So, you know, how do you get past this obstacle with people? They complain no end about the system that we're subject to, but they resist any change to it.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
Any change at all that looks like it's going to unify the people. Oh, no, that's one world government.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable, you know. But I think that's what we're in. We're in a period where people are saying, hang on, this is a program. We're all just running these programs. We've got to do something, and what we have to do really is realize that we're free. So, and even with the OPPT, I've spoken to these people, and that's what they want. They want people, they want this filing to have the effect that the people finally understand that the UCC system is fiction and that they're free. You know, they're free. They don't even need the OPPT. This is just filed within their system to say, hey, guess what? We're not answerable to your system because we're living flesh. We are alive. We created the system. The system can't enslave us. And that's all they wanted to do. So whoever's got the solution, well, you know, whoever's got the solution to who shift from this reality into a better one, well, I don't know. We need to bring it all together. But what I can see is that there has been a sequential series of events that have brought us to this point. It's taken them a couple of thousand years to mold human consciousness to what it is. And what the OPPT has tried to do is they've tried to just file these CVACs and throw this spiritual understanding and give everybody total freedom in this one filing and bang, put it all back to square one. But it's taken 2,000 years to get from A to Z. You can't just throw people back to A. You have to do it sequentially again. You have to undo the sequence that's put us here. You know, the question is, where did the sequence come from? What imposed itself over human consciousness? What caused us to create this civilization and this system that we're currently enslaved to? You know, we've got to realize that it's there, but if you look at it, you do see that it's been a sequential series of events, and so you've got to undo the sequence. And there's been so many things thrown in our way to prevent us from seeing it for what it really is. All the rabbit holes that we're given down, the whole concept of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati does exist. There is cartels, there are ruling cartels, but they're not quite as clever as we think they are. Because when I look at what's going on in the world and when I look at what's going on with the environment, geoengineering, the genetic manipulation of everybody, it's very haphazard. They don't know what they're going to get. It's this big experiment. I mean, of course they don't know what they're going to get. Everybody's biology is different. You know, and though these ruling cabals do control the world in all of its commercial aspects and in many of the biological aspects, in as much as they've got us locked down to the state that we are, they're not quite as powerful as we think they are. This whole concept of the all-powerful Illuminati has been one that I've realized has been propagated by the ruling elite Because if we believe that they're all powerful, then they become all powerful.
Right.
But we are far, far more powerful. They are very powerful in many ways. They control the world in very, very many ways. But when you see how haphazard and sloppy and everything they do is, you know, and they don't really know what they're going to get. You know, they're really desperately, desperately trying to keep human consciousness down. And so they're not as powerful as we are, no matter how powerful they are.
I completely agree, Max. We've got a break creeping up on us, but I've always called them the Illusionati because I agree with you. I think a lot of their power comes from just the idea that they have all this power. But the control does go deep, though. We'll get into the Zionist connection on the other side as well, ladies and gentlemen. But solutions, Max is right on target with it. We'll be right back. You know, I said a few years back, and people thought that I was nuts, when I likened this whole structural system, this whole grid of control to Freddy Krueger. And it sounds a little bit hokey, but I still stand firm with it. This whole system, this whole governmental system, you know, they tried to beat Freddy Krueger, they tried to burn him, they tried to do everything. Nothing worked until they just turned their back on him and completely ignored him. They ceased to recognize his existence, and therefore he dissolved. I think that was a good allegory for the way government is as well, and this whole structural system. Max Egan is on the line with us, thecrowhouse.com. Max, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what I think we could do with these little cooperatives, and that's what I want to do with the Full Circle Project. See, I think if you could go to a town, you could have, you know, feature all their local art and their local culture and the local people, get them involved. And if you're doing tree planting, well, the council, the local council, the mayor and all that, they're going to want to get involved and big note themselves and say, hey, look, we're supporting reforestation, you know. Because, you know, if you're doing tree planting, the indigenous species in the area, then, you know, the council would have to give you the places where you can do it because they like to think they're in control. So you get them on stage there and you start talking to them a little bit about trust and about the fact that this filing exists and the fact that this community would like to set up these little cooperatives. Oh, not that we'd like to. We're going to. We're just letting you know. But this is the way the direction we're going now, and offer you the opportunity to come along with us if you'd like, because this is the way we're going now. You know, and you go and
a lot of support from the councils.
Well, I haven't put the project together yet. I'm putting it together. That's the thing, you know. But we want to do one of these projects here. We want to start a cooperative here in the area and video it. Just put it all together, show what's going on, how we're doing it. And you create this whole little alternate currency system within this community that participates in these gardens, you know. So you're setting up permaculture, you're growing organic food, you're supporting your community. And like I said, and if they say, well, you can't do that because of council regulations and all this stuff, we just go, well, hang on, this UCC filing exists here, so go and rebut that and then come back later when you've rebutted it. And if you're saying it doesn't mean anything, you don't have to rebut it, well, then I guess your UCC system doesn't mean anything and I don't have to rebut any of the filings you guys made that put this slavery system in place, so you just cancelled yourself out. So, I mean, really that's the way to look at it. People have to stand in their power. Now's the time to do it. And we have to create a new system within this system. We can't just give everybody unlimited freedom because everyone's still stuck in currency. They're stuck in the program. So we've got to sequentially undo it the same way the sequence was created. We've got to desequence it in reverse. That's what we have to do.
Well, Max, let me ask you, what can we do to help your efforts? What can the listeners do to help your efforts?
Well, just spread this type of a concept, spread this idea. I mean, it'd be great if people started doing this and I didn't have to come to their town to show them how to do it. You know what I mean? It would be great. I mean, if we can just create this type of a mindset in people and see the simplicity of it. I mean, think about it. If you've got 20 families and you're growing a garden, which is, you know, a good-sized garden, you can go and get some land on the outside of town if you live in a city. Go and you can hire little blocks of land where you put in gardens. So you put in three beds. You make sure you grow it all 100% organically, all certified organic, you know, and you keep two beds for yourself to eat. And you donate the other bed into the co-op. And this starts, you know, if you've got 20 families doing this and you've got big sort of garden beds, then you're going to start getting a reasonable accumulation of money. After about 6 months or a year, you're going to have money in there. And you're going to have your own bank that all of these people can access, you know. So, you know, if you could do this over a period of maybe 2 years and you're selling your weekly produce for 2 years, imagine what you'd have in this bank account. You'd have enough there for, okay, young Jenny and Johnny are leaving home and they're going to build a house. Okay, here's the loan to build the house, you know. And
now, I can't help but think, though, I can't help but think of the Liberty Dollar here in the United States. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They set it up back in 2008, 2009. The Federal Reserve stepped in, filed charges against them for coining money and for counterfeiting money. And basically, they were just creating gold coins. I guess they used the word dollar there, so maybe that's how they got them. I didn't actually read the court transcripts. But I know that the powers that are in place now, if you start setting up banking systems, especially using money that's not fiat currency, that's not ordained by any particular government, you can run into some serious problems. So have you anticipated that? And if so, what do you think the reaction will be? And what should the course of action be against some kind of entity that comes out and says, hey, you can't do this because of this and that. That's basically counterfeiting money.
Well, because we use their money, it doesn't matter. We take the produce, we sell it at the markets in the next town, we get all of their money, their fiat currency, we bring it back, we put it in our safe, and there it is, there's our bank.
I gotcha. Okay.
We just take all their money out of their system and put it into our system, and we use it amongst ourselves. We go out and spend it with other people. We have to use their money because that's all the other people trade with.
Right.
But we don't get all that money from the gardens and put it, we could get a safety deposit box, so we could get some way of storing this money, something. I don't know. I haven't quite figured that bit out yet. I'm kind of working this out as I go along. That's why it's taking so long to put together. So, but we use their currency, of course. We still use their currency. We just don't use their banking system. So okay. it takes the weight out of their banking system. The Federal Reserve is still printing the currency. We can deal with it. So we've got to do it sequentially. You know what I mean? We can't just suddenly introduce a new money system because that won't work. That'll freak everybody out. That'll collapse the whole system. Everyone will go into chaos. There'll be mass. See, that's what I'm saying with the OPPT as well. With these CVACs giving people unlimited freedom and unlimited value, suddenly it will give everybody no value and money will be worth nothing. People will freak out. The system will collapse and the people in the cities will eat each other. And there's your Georgia Guidestones fulfilled. There's the depopulation program right there. All you've got to do is take the value out of money. So we need to extract ourselves from their banking system. We can use their currency to do it. If they still want to believe this stuff's real, hey, fine, we'll use it. But we'll use it within our system. We'll use it according to our values, and we'll use it for what we want to do, and we'll, you know, do it that way. Because we don't have to go by your rules, you know. And if you say we do, well, hang on, there's this filing from the OPPT. And then even if we did start, once we've pulled all the money out of the system, we can force them to introduce something like MPE, Mathematically Perfected Economy. But we can do it through public pressure, through a groundswell. But I just think with these communes, or not communes, but these cooperatives, you're getting people out of the system, you're getting them back to the earth, you're getting them growing, eating organic food, so they're helping their bodies, they're healing themselves, and you're getting them out of the system at the same time. You know, it's just a stepping stone. I mean, it's all stepping stones, but we've got to find what the right stepping stones are and what the right sequence is to get us ourselves out of this mess. But we can't resist every change that comes along. We can't resist everything. I mean, if anyone's got any better ideas, we'll come, let's join in, let's work it out. Let's take the gems and the jewels from all of these movements and organizations and put them together into something that works and stop bickering.
Right.
I mean, everyone's been thinking their way is the only way and screaming out about all the change that's coming and resisting any change that does come. I mean, how's that working out for us, folks? It doesn't seem to be working out very well. In fact, I'd say that we're pretty well fucked.
Right. Right. I like what you said at the beginning, because I've said it many times before. We're not happy with the old world order. We need a new world order. We just need to create our own new world order. And I've said that when you turn NWO backwards, what do you get? You get own. We make it our own new world order.
Well, you know, something better than what we've got. But we can't go on the way we are. We can't go on squabbling. We can't go on pointing the finger at each other. We can't go on saying that any change that's coming is change for the worse, because, you know, everyone hates the old world order and doesn't like the old world order. And look at what it's done to the world. But we resist any change. And, you know, really, it's got to come from ourselves. It's got to come from a change of spirit, change of perspective of what we are. Because once you have the power and you know the power that you have, it's so easy to change things, Chris. Just respect and do what's right. If anyone's claiming otherwise, well, you must be claiming you're my creator, so I need proof of claim. You know, what I'm doing is helping this planet. What you're doing is hindering this planet, regardless of your corporate system. We don't care about your corporate system. It's fiction. We made it up. We made it up so you could do commerce. But my life isn't commerce. My life is life, and my life supports life. And if you're claiming otherwise, well, show me that you have ownership over me. Show me. And if you're going to use that UCC system against me, well, here's this filing. Now, we're going to do what we want to do, and we're going to make the world a better place. This is just the direction that we're going now. You can come along with us if you like, or you can stay behind and continue to support that corporate system. But we're not going to anymore. We've seen it. We've seen it for what it is, and the jig is up. The game's up, you know. And that's what I think this time is, Chris. I think people are waking up to it more and more, and I think that people are feeling empowered more and more. That's what the 2012 shift was. This is the period now where we shape the new reality, but it takes participation. I said this back in 2008 in the big picture. I said, you know, it'll be the time when they try to introduce a new world order in earnest. And ever since then, I've been saying we can do something different, but we have to participate. We have to participate in the 3D reality in which we live. Don't stay there sitting waiting for fifth dimension. You know, what makes you think you're worthy of fifth dimension?
Well, it's coming March 21st, haven't you heard?
Well, you know what I mean?
No, well, I keep hearing this over and over again. And, you know, maybe December 21st was some kind of event. What I meant by non-event is a non-event that in the terms of being able to actually see something. A lot of us feel it. I definitely feel a definite shift in my consciousness and my analysis and my level of awareness. And my priorities have shifted too, from talking about all the super woo to really getting prepared and really coming up with solutions. And I can see that I'm not the only one. You're also experiencing this, and many other people are experiencing it too. But I keep hearing these dates over and over and over again. And we looked at every date that came through for the last year, and none of them ever came through. So right. I've always told people, hey, you know, when you hear dates and you hear this is going to happen on this day and that's going to happen on that day, just forget about it. It's a distraction. That's all it is.
Well, it is. It stops you from being in the now. You're waiting for something major to come and save you, waiting for something shift to happen, you know. And 2012 was set up to be a failure. It was set up so that no one had noticed it, because everyone was expecting something larger than life. They weren't expecting a subtle change in energy. That was the last thing they were expecting. They were expecting a cataclysm. They were expecting something like what Hollywood tells them was going to happen. You know, or suddenly everyone's going to ascend to fifth dimension, or the Galactic Federation is going to come and land or something, you know, all this stuff that they've built up to believe, so they don't notice the subtle changes in the energy field. You know, it almost feels like the planet's waking up. It feels like our collective memory is coming online. The memory that's connected to the planet, the memory that's connected to each other, the memory that's connected to the field. And everything I've been saying in the shows, you know, over the years, some of it that resonates with people so much is because it isn't knowledge that I'm giving them, it's memories. You know, they're remembering what I'm saying is true, and I'm remembering it. And if you listen to the shows that I've done since I started in 2008, there's been a growth in there. There's been more and more stuff remembered, you know. And that's what I see. When you gather knowledge, you know, you research all this stuff, and you can only glean so much from reading and from researching. A lot of it is intuition. And you've got to be prepared to listen to that. Even Einstein said 90% of science is intuition.
Right.
You know, you've got to listen to that knowing that's in yourself, that gnosis that's in yourself. And that's where it all comes from. And that's what's happening, I think. I think human consciousness is waking up as the planet wakes up. You know, the planet, the Earth, whatever you want to call it, Gaia, Sophia, whatever you want to call it, it's waking up. We're waking up with it. We're remembering who and what we are. And we're remembering that we created this whole thing. This whole thing's fiction. This whole system that enslaves us is fiction. We made the whole lot up. And we're better than that. And we're worth more than that. And we can do something very, very different. And the basis of the whole thing, the root thing that we need to do is respect. Respect for each other. We've got to have that. If we don't have that, we'll never get anywhere. Respect right. for each other. Respect for life.
Right.
You know, you talked about the old world order, and people would argue what's the old world order? Is it the Holy Roman Empire? Some people would point it to that. Some people would point it to the Zionist control. Some people would point it to the system that we have right now. What is your take on exactly what the old world order is, and where does the Holy Roman Empire play into all of this? Because, of course, we just had a pope change, and there was a lot of scandal going on in the Vatican, too, with the old pope, and a lot of people are saying that this was pointing towards prophecy, but it doesn't seem to be fulfilling the prophecy. But there's got to be something significant going on here in the power structure. I see it crumbling myself.
Well, it is. It's becoming exposed. That's the thing. I mean, the old world order, I mean, all the things you mentioned, the Zionists, the Jesuits, the Vatican system, you know, the whole lot, the Crown Corporation, the banking cartels, it's all interrelated. It's all intertwined. The old world order that we've got at the moment is a corporate system, you know, the corporate system that was imposed through the Vatican, the whole Vatican system, the Crown Corporation, all of this sort of stuff. Zionism is really, the Khazarian rabble who believe that Palestine should be Israel, and even against, you know, the teachings of Israel, they believe this, even against the teachings of the Talmud, which says that Israel will be given to the Jews after the final battle. The Khazarians believe that it's theirs now, and they need to go and take it, and they need to exterminate Palestine. I mean, that's basically what Zionism is all about.
Well, can you elaborate a little bit on that? The final battle with what? What exactly does the Talmud say? Who's the adversary, the enemy?
Well, the whole thing is the whole God versus the devil thing, you know? I mean, the whole Roman, which is a Roman program. The whole thing's a Roman program, you know? So, the final battle, I mean, the Armageddon, this is what this is now. This is where we are. This is Armageddon. This is the great unveiling, the great revealing, the apocalypse.
Right. Right?
The apocalypse is the great unveiling.
Right.
Armageddon is probably the wrong word, but the apocalypse.
It is the wrong word, Max, but I've made it before too, and I speak Greek fluently, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, so the apocalypse is the great unveiling, and Armageddon is a battle of the mind. It's the battle between good and evil. The system is exposed now. It's so bare. And the choice with people is to whether to stand in the power that they now know they have, or whether to not do that, whether to succumb to fear. There's that battle of Armageddon. That's the battle between good and evil, the final battle. You know, that's what it's all about. And the apocalypse is the great unveiling. According to the Orthodox Jews, the big battle between God and Satan will result in God granting his chosen people Israel, you know. So that's supposed to come after the final battle. So, yeah, it's the Khazarians and the Zionists that are in control of Israel now have no respect for the Jewish faith, really. They use the Jewish faith as a scapegoat to do what they do. And you can see why there is so much animosity towards the Jewish people. They've done a lot of bad stuff. You know, the usurious monetary system. One of the biggest gripes with Germany back in the early days was the fact that they were in control of the media and the arts, and
right.
they were introducing what the Germans considered to be pornography, and they thought they were lowering the moral standards of the German people. And you see now a lot of pornography, a lot of people trafficking, human trafficking, body parts. Usurious money system, it all comes out of Israel.
Right.
So you can understand why people think that the Jews are bad people, because it's a racist culture. The Talmud is a racist culture. The Jewish faith is a racist faith.
Well, I'm sorry, all of these Abrahamic religions seem to be based on this idea that humans are bad, and so we have to pay and sacrifice something to God to make up for our failures as humans. And I guess maybe it's gnosis coming back, but I've just realized in the last couple of weeks that we're not bad and we don't have to sacrifice anything. And it seems like this entire system is based on human sacrifice.
Well, you know, it's the supremacist ideology of the system. That's the thing, you know, the idea that the Jewish race is God's chosen people and the rest are goyim, and you can treat them the way you want. And, you know, what they have been doing is treating them very badly, and that's why people see so much against it. But I mean, you've got to understand the mentality of the people within the system. They're trained to think differently than what we do. A lot of them don't understand the root of the system, you know, the root of the religion and where it all comes from. Interesting that you mentioned the gnosis, because The Gnostic teachings have a very, very interesting slant on the Jewish faith, really. If you really look at it, the whole concept of the archons and the demiurge, is very interesting, because with the demiurge of course being the head of the archons, who believes himself to be the creator of the universe, but really he's basically the creator of this solar system, and he's simply an insane alien, according to the Gnostic teachings anyway, according to the Nahamani writings.
I happen to agree with that. Extraterrestrials are at the top of the religious structure, in my opinion, and even their own doctrines. If you look at the Sumerian tablets, even the Anunnaki, they acknowledge a creation of life. They said they can only alter, they can't create, only the creating force of the universe can create. So even though they came down here as gods, they still acknowledge the fact that there is a supreme being out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. And the interesting slant on it is that the head of the archons, according to the Gnostic teachings, is the Demiurge, whose name in our language is Yahweh, who is the Hebrew God. And so when you look at the damage, the banking system and the moral corruption of youth and all the body trafficking and human trafficking and slavery and prostitution and all the stuff that's come out of the Jewish system, you think, well, perhaps they are God's chosen people. It's just that the God that they're referring to is an insane alien who does not have humankind's best interests at heart.
Well, even if you read the Bible, it says that God was so compassionate and loving that instead of casting Satan away, that he gave him the earth to rule. And this is his domain. This is his realm. Why wouldn't his religion be the prominent one in his own realm?
Well,
from a religious perspective like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think all these things are programs, though, Chris. I mean, I think that...
I totally agree. I'm just... we just had Chuck Baldwin on yesterday, a pastor. We have been speaking to a few people that are really religious lately, and...
It doesn't bother me,
but it's when I speak to somebody and they're still stuck in that paradigm, it's so hard for me to break it. I don't want to say anything that will shake their paradigm. I think it's something that they need to realize on their own. But hearing the slants from the different religions and then knowing what I know, as you know, about where the origins of these religions actually come from, I shake my head and go, my God, how do these people, go on like this without actually having a full understanding of what's going on?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's just interesting what the Gnostics say about it all. And I don't know whether I agree with it at all, but it's interesting that that's the slant that they put on it, on the whole Yahweh thing. But the whole Satanism, black magic thing, it's like I said earlier, you start giving these people too much credit.
Right.
And you start giving them that power. Because, they can't create without our input. You know, and when you look at this civilization, it's very archonic. It doesn't really seem to serve our best interest in any way. And I think we've got to be careful. I mean, they are very, very powerful. They do control a great deal of reality. But we can't give them too much credit, because they are very, very disorganized. And like I said earlier, we are far, far more powerful. And I think that's what the apocalypse is. That's what the Battle of Armageddon is. And that's what this time is. The battle between good and evil is a choice that we each have to make. And it's a choice as to whether to stand in our power or whether to succumb to the system. But there's all these things in place now. There's all these different organizations which have given us the way out. You know, mathematically perfected economy, the OPPT filing, the permaculture, way we can turn the earth into a garden. I mean, the cob houses, all the things that we can do, free energy devices, water-powered cars, we can do all of these things, and we should just do them. It doesn't matter what the legal ramifications are. If they want to bring that against us, well, again, we go back to that filing. We can use that filing, and they can argue that in their own court. Because it'll stand up in their own court, because if it doesn't, then their system doesn't exist.
Right.
That's the thing. So we've got to bring it all together, bring all of these things together and just start implementing the changes ourselves. We can't vote new people in. We can't. It's no good even really starting movements. I mean, with these communities, I'm thinking, okay, 20 families. If we can't get 20 people in a town to do this, well, then there's probably no hope for the town.
Well, that brings up a couple of questions. I mean, number one, yeah, organization, but also the people who are pushing for depopulation, their argument is that the Earth simply cannot sustain 7 billion people going on 8 billion people. Who knows how many people are here now? It just simply can't sustain with organic food and things like that. So they have to make GMO. They have to make forget the term. I'm sorry. I'm so burned out right now, ladies and gentlemen. Forgive me, but I'm trying to stay on my A game for you. But you know what I mean. They have to create these kind of things because they simply can't feed everybody.
That's rubbish. It's rubbish. The only reason they can is because they monocrop and all the things that they do. People aren't getting enough nourishment from the food they eat. A permaculture garden will sustain itself and it will feed a lot of people. We do everything different to what we are now would be the way to do things. And move people out of the cities, gradually get people back into reality a little bit, you know. I don't think the world's overpopulated at all. I think that there's much better ways of doing things. We don't have to do any of the stuff that they're saying, you know. But, I mean, like I said, if you can't get 20 people in your community to do this, well, perhaps there's no hope for that community. But they could start their own little system and step away. And gradually the people around it will say, oh, wow, this is good. Their food tastes better than mine. They got this whole little thing where they're all getting loans from their cooperatives so they don't have to deal with interest from the bank. I like this. I'll get involved. Well, if I can't get into that one, well, maybe I'll start it up here with 20 other families.
Well, that's so, until somebody steps in and says, well, you know, I think you guys need better organization. I'll tell you what, I'll overlook everything here. I'll make sure that everything is organized perfectly, and you guys just give me 10% of everything.
No. We have what we want to do is we want to create a template, but that can't happen. It can't happen. It's a cooperative. It's got to go by these guidelines because these guidelines make sure everybody's looked after and they make sure the system doesn't change. And this system, mini system, will be designed to pull you away from the system until it just becomes a natural way of life. And eventually, once you've got enough in these cooperatives and you've got enough people involved, you'll find that you won't need money. Money will just be the intermediary bit. If you've got a guy who runs the timber mill, who's part of this cooperative, and you've got another guy who runs another company, a carpet company or whatever, and he's part of the cooperative, eventually you won't be getting money from the bank. You'll be trading food with these people and stuff. You know?
There it is, so, ladies and gentlemen, thecrowhouse.com. We'll be right back after this short break right here on Truth Frequency Friday edition, PhD edition. This is the more advanced knowledge right here. We'll see you on the other side.
Joe Rogan, and you are tapped into the Truth Frequency.
You're really tapping into a hyperdimensional physics that's very related to these other dimensions. And a consciousness is, of course, the foundation, I think, of what all of space, time, matter is emanating from.
I mean, the first thing to do is kind of construct a cartography of these states, you know, a map of these dimensions, if you will. This is what teaches each and every one of you people out there what you really are.
If you can think of reality as a projection of the collective consciousness or the collective unconscious, and you can see how disconnected and messed up and locked in self-service and fear the human consciousness is at the moment.
But that's what it's all about. They want us focusing on the fear.
When you get sick of trying to find the enemy and you realize that the enemy has been inside of you and it's your insecurities, they come from our own inability to take the responsibility.
We're looking for truth here. We're not on either side.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two right here on Truth Frequency with Max Egan. And we're talking about solutions, and I'm really glad to hear others talking along the same lines. Solutions is where we've come to. We've talked about the problem over and over and over again, and we continue to talk about the problem, continue to dissect what's going on, how we came to be where we are now. If we don't understand history, we're not going to understand the future. And eventually, everything will all just come full circle again. But the Full Circle project that Max Egan is working on,
thecrowhouse.com,
he's taking us back to our roots, taking us back to where we need to be as a society. And I agree. I want to see this thing really take off. I want to see the government just completely just crumble away because people are taking their own responsibility and doing what needs to be done.
It seems like this Full Circle project is – the best way to go about the archaic revival that people like Terrence McKenna used to talk about all the time, and that is the idea that we're going back to our humanity's roots, not just a certain portion of humanity like some people do with religion. Instead, this is a full-blown archaic revival that involves taking care of yourself instead of expecting a governmental entity to take care of you for you. So I'm sorry, I'm a little bit burned out myself.
It's okay. We've been very, very busy this week, and I think we got bombarded with some pretty bad chemtrails today because we were both just muscle pains and just all kinds of
weirdness
going on. Yeah, how are the chemtrails down there, down under, Max? Are you getting hit pretty hard?
Yeah, reasonably, but it's been too stormy to tell. It's been raining here forever, I think.
We haven't had a good rain in Colorado in about 2 years.
And
really.
We have another fire that just started in Fort Collins, actually.
Oh.
We had six dry days last month.
My goodness.
I think we're going to move down there.
Yeah, we might move down there
and help you
out. It was really raining too. Not light rain. It was bucketing down, and you know, rivers flooded, places flooded, bridges flooded, trees down, power lines, full on.
Wow. Yeah.
And they just repair everything. We get another storm, we do it all again. So it's been amazing. Then I went down to Victoria to have a meeting last weekend, and they've got a heat wave down there. It was 39 degrees, you know, just ridiculous, absolutely so hot. The whole place is like a tinderbox. So total contrast from where I almost expected to be cold down there. I've got a scarf and a beanie, thought, shit, I'm off to Melbourne. I better take some warm clothes.
It
was like walking into an oven.
What I think is happening is when they spray really heavily, it starts to, as it comes down, it starts to get all over your skin. Because I notice if I go take a shower and get all that funk, I start to get this film around me. It's very bizarre. But once I get all that funk off me, I start to feel better, but my mind is still clouded. And you've done some pretty interesting research into the chemtrails on transformation, on your DVD transformation. How has that information panned out? Have you been able to reaffirm that information again and again and again? And if so, have you drawn any new conclusions, or are you still along the same lines?
Yeah, still along the same lines. It's all to do with the transhumanist agenda. But what I can see, I mean, this again, it shows you how sloppy they are and how it's really a grand experiment, because you can't control something like that. Everybody's biology is different. You don't know what you're really going to get with anybody. So it's like there's this huge, almost mad experiment underway to try to manufacture a new form of life out of the life that already exists on this planet. Everything we do, even we are so obsessed with creating artificial life, creating a robot that has a soul, creating a computer that can think, creating an android or something that has a spirit and a soul and is a sentient life form. We want to be able to get the rocks from the ground and the chemicals and stuff of the universe and put it all together in a test tube and create life. That's what we want to do. And we've been trying to do this. It seems to be the sole goal of science in many ways. It all leads towards understanding reality better, looking at it at its most intricate point, looking for the God particle. They claim they've found it now. They claim they've found a Higgs boson.
Yep.
But it may not be exactly the type of thing where, I mean, they're never going to figure out that they're going to go smaller again. They'll go, this is almost it, but it's not it. Now we have to start colliding these things. We're going to have to build a bigger collider. But they're never going to figure it out. It's consciousness. You know, consciousness is creation. There is no God particle, you know.
Right.
They've got to bring everything down to a mechanical level, to a physical level, to a finite level that can be explained by physics, because that's the only understanding they have. It's this incredible mechanical left brain understanding. And everything towards our science is designed at finding more and more ways of understanding this reality so we can create life. But we can already create life. We can create life through procreation.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been done to that? What's been done to the genders? We've been divided, and sex, rather than being procreation, is now seen as something lustful, something dirty, something that you don't participate in. Or if you do, it's in bizarre ways. You know, it's all to do they've moved us away from who we are, and they've got us obsessed with this whole transhumanist thing. It's what we look like. The add-ons, more and more space age, more and more tighter clothes and head add-ons, and we get more and more machine-like. They build roads throughout countries that are winding passages, and eventually they end up straighter and straighter and straighter. They take all the curves out, and you know, another 100 years from now, how whole countries will look like circuit boards.
Right.
You know, it's this machine mentality. So where did it come from? What's that all about? Because that's what we're doing, and we've got to move away from that, because that's what all these chemtrails are. But it's bizarre. I mean, like I said, it's an experiment. How can they know what they're going to come up with? They don't know what they're going to come up with. They've managed to, through control of the money systems and through the belief that people need rulers, which is what the monarchy basically does. You know, we have the genetic right to rule the planet, which is a complete load of rubbish. But you know, they've created this system whereby they're in a position where they can manipulate everything and see what they come up with. But they're not as powerful as we think they are. They're only powerful because we believe the system that they created for us to enslave us is real. That's the only place they get their power from, the fact that we believe the system is real.
Right.
Well, we're educated into, when we're kids, we grow up thinking this is the way it has to be. But hang on, no we don't, because it's a commercial system. So we can free ourselves from the commercial system. We can just be who we want to be now. And that's what we should do. And that's the solution, I think, to the whole thing. And that's how we'll break it all down. But, you know, it is definitely a transhumanist agenda, but the method of it, the methodology that they're using, tends to make me believe that they're not as powerful as what we believe them to be. And we definitely need to stop giving them as much credit as we've given them. Because
transhumanism, is that necessarily a bad thing? If somebody needs a heart, they can get a robotic heart. If somebody loses their arm, they can get a robotic arm. An eye, they can give sight to the blind. You know, people that are deaf can hear. Wouldn't this be a good thing for humanity? Isn't this a way to move forward?
Well, look, that's not really transhumanism. Transhumanism is the merger of man with machine. And sure, getting bionic hearts or something if you need it. I mean, I'd suggest that there'd be probably other ways, like Rick Simpson's hemp oil, to cure them of these diseases and all sorts of stuff. I think there's ways to cure us of diseases. Royal Rife. Royal Rife, back in the 1920s and 30s, they had a party in 1934 or something to celebrate the end of all disease, because Royal Rife found a way of curing all disease with sound frequency. And you can go and Google that, Royal Raymond Rife.
I've heard about that before, yeah.
He had a microscope that could see live viruses, and he would literally see them. Even now, we can only produce electron microscopes that can take photographs of live viruses, but we can't see them in real time. Rife could, through his microscope that he invented. He was an engineer, and he was a doctor. And he invented this microscope that could see live viruses. And he'd throw a light spectrum over them. And over a certain spectrum, everything has a spectrum that it relates to. So in a certain light spectrum, he would find that something like cancer would be illuminated under this particular light spectrum. So he'd figure out what that light frequency was, and he'd get the corresponding sound frequency, which created that color light. And he'd bombard the cancer with that sound frequency, and it would shatter the way an opera singer shatters a crystal glass. And he could do this with all diseases. He cured everything, everybody, every disease that he tried. He could illuminate the disease in a spectrum of light. He could find the corresponding sound frequency, and he could shatter the disease. And they had a party.
What type of opposition did he experience from the medical industrial complex?
Well, he died in jail.
Well, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but they had a party back in 1934 to celebrate the end of all disease. So, I mean, sure, there's things that could be said for having a bionic heart or something. I mean, if you lose an arm, get a bionic arm, something like that. Absolutely. But that's not transhumanism. Transhumanism is the merger of man with machine, and it's creating a dependence upon machines. It's creating a singularity consciousness, only it's a digital machine-controlled singularity of consciousness. And
Have you seen these new Google goggles? They're like little glasses, and you put them on, and basically, well, first of all, the most sinister is it has a GPS everywhere. So it goes around with the GPS and sees exactly what you see. But basically, you have the internet in these pair of glasses. You go to the airport, for instance, and it'll tell you, it'll point to the right, and then point to the left, and point to the right, wherever your destination is, wherever your gate is that you're departing from. They're selling it through convenience, but have you heard of these?
Yeah. See, this is all introducing people to transhumanism, introducing them to a digital reality. See, you only have to get a few of the population. Yeah, you can eliminate the rest. You know, so you know you've got to see where this hand comes from. But it's very haphazard the way they're doing it. But yeah, I mean, transhumanism is exactly what they're doing, and it's different to bionic arms and bionic hearts. And what I'm saying is that people are seeing these glasses and stuff like that, and they're thinking, oh, this will be cool. We'll be getting an eye patch like the Borg, you know. But what if they're doing it from the inside out through genetics, through nanotechnology? Because that's what the investigations into chemtrails would indicate is actually happening. And that would be the best way to do it. If you're going to merge man with machine, you're so desperate at creating life, real life, you know, merging machine with life, you've got to do it through a genetic level.
Right.
There's no point just putting plantons in there. You need to absolutely change the biology of the being and merge it with machines to make it a mechanical, biological organism. And that's what's happening. And that's what transhumanism is as well. It's not the bionic stuff.
Right. I agree. It's not necessarily the technology that's evil. I've always said this before, whether it has to do with any type of technology, it's the way that it's applied. And we can go two different directions with this kind of man-machine technology. We can use it to help and heal mankind. But as you stated, there are other ways to do that as well. Or we can use it to enslave mankind. And I'm afraid that that's where we're heading. Through total control. I mean, if we're constantly tracked, if we have a chip in our arms that buys and sells, then they turn off our chip immediately if we say something they don't like or do something they don't like. I just got done watching the movie Equilibrium again, like literally before the show. And in that scenario, they weren't allowed to feel. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie before, but they had to take a dose every couple of hours to keep them from feeling. And they had these police that would do nothing but go around and they would look for what were they called? Sense offenders.
That's right.
Sense offenders. There you go.
Instead of sex offenders.
Right. It did sound pretty similar to that.
Yeah.
But sense offenders. And you're guilty if you're feeling anything, period. And art was completely banned and anything with color, anything that made you stand out, stick out. And they're justification in this movie, the government's justification was that it's the end of all murder, end of all war. There's no war, no more murder. Mm-hmm. But the movie showed scene after scene after scene of dozens of people being murdered by the police.
Right.
And the government was committing all the murders. So they're going to try to sell it to you like that, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, if you do this, it's going to be the violence. It's going to be the end of chaos and destruction. But in actuality, it's just going to put all the chaos and destruction in the hands of the government, as it is now, and you're going to be a total slave. That's what this whole gun control thing is, stepping in that direction, in my opinion. They disarm you, say it's going to be the end of killing, end of murder, but they're going to be the ones with the guns, so they're going to be the ones doing the killing and the murder. Mexican?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what they'll do. But, I mean, I think there's so much more we're capable of, and that's why the whole transhumanist thing seems it feels so appealing to people to want to have this singularity of consciousness, because I believe we already have it. And I think if we weren't kept so locked down electromagnetically and biologically, then we would experience so much more. What I was saying earlier about accessing memories from the field and accessing memories of the earth and memories from the past and knowings and memories that you have, I think the reason we're blocked off from all of this and a lot of the way our higher senses are kept locked down is from the fungal growths that people get inside them. I've been talking to a guy recently who's been looking at all different types of diets, and he's figured out that most diseases all come from different types of candida, which is a fungus, and that this candida develops different shells, and the different diets you can take, different vegetable diets or even paleo diets, will break down these shells and will eliminate these certain types of candida from your body, which opens you back up to higher senses, opens you back up to more energy from the field around you. So it's like this fungal growth has been implanted in Western society through the food that we eat and the chemicals that they give us. So they give us its fungus, then we get all this fungus growing in us, and it locks us down. Then they start feeding us all these biological agents to mess around with our biology. Then they start introducing nanoparticulates through chemtrails. And you see that they're doing this to all life, really. I mean, because the chemtrails affect everything. The nanoparticulates get into everything. But the main biological changes are being made to humankind through the food that we eat and the stuff that they give us and put into our body. So it's like a huge experiment taking place, you know?
Well, and it's, that sounds a lot like the oral polio vaccine trials of the 1950s. A lot of the scientists of the day, a lot of their colleagues were extremely upset that they were testing these vaccines on hundreds of thousands of children. And their justification for it, which is also their justification for everything you just mentioned, is that we have to have a herd immunity to these diseases. And the best way we can do that is to just expose everybody to things. And then whatever makes it out okay, we live with that. And they're okay with that. They're okay with collateral damage and collateral loss.
Well, they're mad, you see. I mean, all of these scientists are mad. Of course they are. Otherwise, they wouldn't do the things that they do.
Right. They're like the scientist in Event Horizon that's just completely out of his mind and taking this whole crew to hell, essentially. And he doesn't care because he's so nuts.
Well, yeah. I mean, any doctor that would do an experiment, you know, use the public for an experiment that they haven't asked them about is crazy. I mean, but look at what science does. I mean, science is all about, you know, understanding the universe more and seeing what we can do with it. How can we mess with it? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the first nuclear test that they did. When they did the first nuclear test, they didn't know what was going to happen. They weren't sure. They were worried that they may set the atmosphere on fire.
Yeah.
But they did the test anyway. They didn't care. They still did it. Their justification it's science.
Right. I mean, you have nothing to lose at that point. If the whole world is going to blow up, well, then, hey.
I know.
You don't have to face any repercussions after that. The world's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, gee, sorry, I just destroyed 99% of life. That experiment didn't work. You've got to understand, it was an experiment. It's collateral damage. These things are justifiable in an experiment. You know, I didn't really do anything wrong by killing all the life on the planet. It was just an experiment. So, I mean, I'm a scientist. How could I possibly do anything wrong? Now, they're mad, completely mad. When they turned on HARP, they weren't sure if it wasn't going to ignite the ozone layer. But they turned it on. They did it anyway. See, that's the thing. So with these experiments and these vaccinations, they don't know what's going to happen, but they're quite willing to go and infect the whole population with it. With the GM experiments that they're doing, they don't really know where it's going to go, what's going to happen once all of this GM food and GM trees and GM mosquitoes and GM everything is infected, everything, and everything's merged with everything else, all the fish genes spliced with corn and all the stuff that they're doing, pumping fluoride into the oceans and Fukushima, and oh, my God. I don't know what's going to happen. It's completely scatterbrained. So as much as these people have power to do all this, they have no real sanity and they have no real power because look at the disorganized fashion of the whole thing. So there's your secret. There's that shows you that we have so much more power if we simply realize it and stand in that. That's what people are missing, and anybody who comes up with an idea or says, let's unite, oh, it's a new world order, it's this, it's that, my way is the only way. We've got to do it by doing alternate communities. We've got to do it by introducing this system that I've created, and I won't take any input from anybody else. This is it. This is the only way.
Well,
everyone's
no,
like that.
Matt,
you know?
The real solution is to sit behind the computer and bitch at the people that are talking about this kind of stuff and call
it's
world order when they come up with solutions. Don't you know?
It's unbelievable, Christian. There's so many people that have a vested interest in the fight because their whole life has been come about the fight. The system is there. It's this big, evil system, and I've spent my life fighting this system, and I'm not going to be happy until I win on my terms so I can say, yes, look, I got you. And it's not about the solution for these people. It's not about actually shifting the paradigm. It's about the fight. It's a program. They're running a program, the program of the fight, and they cannot leave it behind. That's the problem that I'm seeing through a lot of the so-called truth community. And we've got to stop bitching about it because looking around, I don't think it's done us very well so far. We've tried it. It hasn't really worked. I think it's time that we all put our egos aside and all came together and put some rational solutions on the table because I believe that now we have the opportunity to do it. That's what the apocalypse and the Armageddon that you're all waiting for is. The apocalypse is the great reveal, and the Armageddon is the battle of the spirit, the battle of the mind, the battle between good and evil, whether you choose to stand in your power or whether you do not. And now is the time, so let's all get on board.
That's beautiful, Max. And I just want to say, it really does seem like there's this persistent stupidity on the part of a lot of people in this movement where they don't want to get rid of the old system all the way, because if they did, then they wouldn't have all the cool toys that they have in front of them.
Well, yeah, and it's programs, sure. It's all programs. See, that's why I even mention Apocalypse and Armageddon, for all those that are running the biblical program. There's the name for it. That's what you've been waiting for. Well, here it is. It's just not what you're expecting. It isn't going to be this big boogeyman with a pitchfork and Jesus coming down on a flaming pie. It doesn't work that way.
Flaming pie.
It's a battle of consciousness, and you have to participate. You know, so all these people are running programs, and the program of the fight, I've found, is one of the most hard ones to crack, one of the most all-pervasive in the truth movement. It's the program of the fight, not the program of the solution or ways to implement the change, ways of actually being the change you want to see and shifting this consciousness and creating a new paradigm. It's about the fight. And many people have spent so many years in the fight and so many years coming up with their idea of how things should be that they have a vested interest. They can't get away from that, you know. And they're all running these biblical Roman programs. They're saying it's black magic, it's Satanism, it's all this stuff. Oh, no, I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in the church system, but this is all Satanism. Where did that word come from? You know, it only appears in the Bible. That's where the word came from, okay? Right. Oh, if you're referring to a different Satan, well, I don't know, but that's where it came from. You know, and it's all based in Saturn anyway, so you can take it back to Gnostic teachings. So it all goes back to the whole Archonic theory, really, if you want to look at it. So, I mean, but people have to get away from all this stuff. They've got to get away from the programs and realize that the time to shift things is now, and we've got to participate. Put down the egos and let's get on with it.
Do you think that Mars could have a connection with all of this too, as far as the great revealing, the apocalypse? Because we're finding out now that there once was quite a bit of life on Mars, and that something happened, and now there's not, at least not on the surface. And so do you think that that ties in with our great revealing, that, holy crap, maybe our Earth will get blown to smithereens? Maybe this would happen to us if we don't stand up and say no to the people that are destroying it.
Well, look, there's a possibility of it. I mean, I did some research that I had in my book back in 2005 relating to Mars. I mean, there's certainly signs that there was a huge catastrophe that happened on Mars. There's legends, there's Zulu legends. You know, the Zulus say that they actually come from Mars. Mm-hmm. They say that they sent their women and children here. There was an invader from the outside, which I perceive to be probably a comet. So, I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. But, I mean, all of that sort of stuff, it's interesting and it'd be nice to know. But it's not in the now. I think once we concentrate in the now, once we free ourselves from this system and we get our biology back online, all of this stuff will be revealed. As I said, you know, there's been a lot of steps that have brought us here. It's been a sequential series of events. And we have to find a way of reversing the sequence. The first step is freedom. The first step is to know who you are, because once you know who you know that you are free. You know that you don't need the system. You don't need the UCC filings. You don't need anything. You know, you are free. So you've got to know yourself. That's the first step. And the second step
That's
is
the
respect
first step,
for yourself.
And gentlemen, we'll get to the second step right on the other side. And we do have an invader from outside on the line with us, our good dear friend, Tony Kudos, Beyond2012Radio.com. He'll be joining us for the remainder of the broadcast. Last segment right on the other side, right here on Truth Frequency. All right, we're back speaking with Max Egan, and love the conversation. I love the conversation. Cherie brought up some interesting points during the break, though, but before we do that, I want to go to our dear friend Tony Kudos, who's on the line. Well, and see what he has on his mind, because I think he had some questions for Max as well. Tony, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys. Doing great. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Doing great.
Coming through loud and clear. What's on your mind, friend?
Wonderful. I'd like to talk to Max. Max, first of all, what an immense pleasure it is for me to actually speak to you directly. I've been a follower and an admirer of your work for a very long time, so this really is very special for me. But I'd like to actually backtrack a little bit back to transhumanism. About 20 years ago, I worked for a telecommunication company and was privy to one of their production units that was run entirely by machines and by computers. And the only person present there was the person who stacked up the printed circuit boards before they went through the process and stacked them up at the other end where they were finished. And I realized something at the time, that really machines were taking over. So the point I'd like to discuss with you, if I may, is sometimes I've considered that as there is this merging of man and machine, man and computers, I wonder if there's going to come a time when man is actually superseded by sentient machines that write their own code, to the point in the end that man becomes totally superfluous, and whether this is actually mankind's role is to create a sentient mechanical race. What do you think?
That's a great question.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what they're attempting to do, but I don't think it can be done, because the sentience is consciousness, is us. And you can't make that in a machine. So they always have to use us as the basis, which would be why the merger that they're attempting has to come from the inside out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with what you're saying about the whole robotic production, I mean, this is a good thing in a way, because it frees us up for more philosophical pursuits. If we could eliminate this interest-based money system and introduce an honest monetary system, we wouldn't need to work as much anyway. You know, and I'd honestly like to get to a point of spiritual evolvement or spiritual remembrance, to the point where we don't actually need money. We'd see that it's simply a talisman for control and a means of scarcity anyway. So, I mean, removing the economic possibilities from it all, I think that they'll never be able to add sentience to a machine. They're always going to need to use us, because we've never been able to create life, or the mind that is in control of our mind, the mechanical side of us that seeks to create this robotic transhumanist life within us, has never found a way of creating organic sentience. Okay, they can create some type of life. They can grow brain cells on a circuit board and all this sort of stuff. They can put a meat gene in a tray and grow a steak. They can do that, but they can't put sentience into the steak. The steak doesn't feel anything. The brain that they grow may be able to process data, but it can't think for itself. It has no personality. You know, that frequency, that spark, the God spark, if you will, whatever you want to call it, that spark of consciousness that's downloaded into your body that is you, that's the thing. See, it doesn't actually exist in your body. Your body downloads it. It exists in the field around you. And what this consciousness is trying to do is create that sentience in a machine, but they can't, because they can't create what it is that downloads that frequency. They can't find the right process to download the spark of life that exists in the field, and they never ever will, no matter how far they take it. Some of the stuff that has concerned me, even I spoke to Foster Gamble when he was out here. He actually came to visit me, and said he was a big fan of the Transformation film that he did, and I actually went to speak at the Thrive Summit, and I mentioned a concern that I had to him about the toroidal energy that he was pursuing, because I believe that this toroidal energy field that we actually produce will be what is used to power the transhumanist machinery within it. So we will become the battery that drives the machine as well as the machine. You know, enter the matrix, we become the battery. I mean, there's so much going on here. It's such a deep issue. But no, I don't think they can. I don't think they ever, ever will be able to make a sentient organic or semi-organic life form. No matter how many genes they try to put together, no matter what meats they try to splice, no matter what genes they splice, no matter what they do to merge machine or to create a biological machine, They'll never be able to create one that has a soul.
Yeah, have you ever seen any of Professor Kevin Warwick's work? He's a professor in England. He actually had a connection driven into the median nerve in his wrist and a connection panel on the inside of his elbow. And they were pretty horrible, but he had it done. It's online. I actually met him. I met him in Tucson, Arizona. And first of all, what they were doing was measuring the impulses for operating his hand, his fingers, whatever. And latterly, they connected a camera that interfaced directly on this nerve to his brain. And after a while, his brain was able to see through the camera. Isn't that scary?
Exactly. So they can rewire the circuitry. See, it's all electric. The whole thing's electrical. So they're figuring out how to do it. And yeah, I know of Professor Warwick. He used to flick his wrist to change the TV stations and stuff. I mean, crazy. Absolutely crazy, man. But yeah, this is where they're going. Rerouting things. I mean, you look at some of the experiments people have done with blind people as well. They've found that your brain is plastic. You can reroute the channels. There's people that have been taught to basically see using their tongue and their skin. Okay, blind people driving down the road on push bikes, and they're clicking with their tongue. And they're feeling the reflections on their skin the same way that a sonar, a bat works, you know what I'm saying? So, and people have been trained to do this. They're riding push bikes through traffic. And they can literally see their surroundings almost like a sonar, you know? I mean, I can't imagine what the image would be like. But there's an article you can find on the Crow House in the link section. It says your brain is plastic. It's a very, very interesting talk about how they'd be able to do this. So that makes sense. They could do that, hook up a finger in the nerve, and they could reroute it to an optical input. I mean, yeah, it's a computer. It's a biological computer. And that's what I mean about downloading the frequency of life. You've got to understand what your body is separate to your consciousness. Your body simply downloads your consciousness. Your body can be manipulated through electromagnetism and through mechanical add-ons, but that spark of the God, that spark of life, that spark of consciousness, that sentience, that you, whatever you want to call it, however you want to describe it, they'll never be able to duplicate that because that's in the field. That's in the field around you. That's why you can swap organs with people and they start experiencing each other because the organs are downloading that frequency. It isn't that the organ has memory. It downloads that frequency. So consciousness exists. It's a single consciousness already. We're already at a singularity. We're just experiencing it from all these different billions of perspectives. And what transhumanism is trying to do is mimic that and bring that singularity together into one that can be mechanically controlled. And it's an imitation of life. It's an imitation of the singularity that we already are. Everything that science does is an imitation of nature. The pure wonder and the chemistry and the mechanics and the incredible intelligence of nature and life. Life itself. I mean, think how intelligent life itself is. And that's what transhumanism and science is trying to mimic. And they're doing it by destroying life. They're going and they're destroying everything, getting down further and further and further. Look for that God particle. Try to mimic it in every way that you can because we are better than life. But we are life. We've just forgotten that. We've had this mindset superimposed over us to send us down this track, which is so far removed from what we are. And I think we're remembering now. That's what this is. That's what the 2012 shift was all about. That's why this is a period of no time. We're remembering all of this stuff. I probably got a bit off topic with that, but that's my perspective anyway, brother.
Max, let me go into something really quick because Cherie brought up some really interesting points, and we're not at all, you know, pointing this towards you at all, but we're just laying out history by mentioning this. But Cherie, please go over those points because I would love to get Max's take on it.
Actually, I wasn't sure if I should bring these up or not.
No. It's really, really enlightening information.
Well, throughout history, you've had certain personality cults that evolved that would put forward the idea of everybody getting back to the land and learning how to grow their own crops and all of those things that you mentioned. Their names were Pol Pot and Mao Zedong. And that's, I was just wondering, you know, how do you feel about about the idea that this could turn into a forced thing where people are forced to go back to the land.
No, I don't want to be like that at all. All I want to do is find ways of empowering the community. I don't think it could. If with the parameters I want to put in the Full Circle project, it's got to be a cooperative thing, and it's not a matter of them being forced to. There'll be people that don't want to do this sort of stuff. That's fine. They can buy food from the cooperative. That's all good. Doesn't matter. There's just got to be ways of uniting the people. There's some spark that people are going to get. There's something that's going to ignite that spark anyway, you know. People need, I'm just trying to find the match, you know what I mean? And with what I want to do with the Full Circle project, there's no way this could ever be turned into anything hierarchical. And there's no way it's forced on anybody. It's just something. Just something. And like I said earlier in the show, if someone's got a better idea or something else that can come into it, hey, I'm all ears. Let's do it. Because I mean, what I started off with was just basically speaking dates, workshops with probably myself and two or three other people, and videoing the whole thing, ending up in ceremony in Peru. Then that was going to be highlighting all the cultures everywhere we go. Then it turned into highlighting the cultures and tree planting. Now it turns into this cooperative we can set up behind everywhere we go. So I mean, it's just morphing. It's morphing into more and more things. Anything that I can think of that's going to empower the people and let them see that they can step away from this system. And I think anything's a good start. I don't want to create something that's going to force people into any type of change. I just want people to discover themselves and find some method of getting them to step into that. That's why I want to cover culture. I want to cover arts. I want to cover gardening. I want to cover tree planting. I want to cover cooperative and community banking. So the whole lot, I mean, anything you can think of, and with the goal of getting away from banking altogether, you know. But hey, if we're going to have to use money, well, let's do it on our own terms. If we've got to get into a situation where we've got to borrow money to meet bills and stuff, well, let's do it on our own terms. And eventually we can wake people up to the fact that the system's fiction. I mean, I don't know. Anything I can think of to empower the community, that's what it's all about for me.
No, I think you're totally correct in your assessment, and that's why I'm supportive of the of this project, because it's about empowering people, whereas the ones I mentioned were about disempowering people and getting rid of their cultures and traditions that they already had. And so part of your plan, it seems, is to reinforce the culture that's already there and then give them the idea that they can take care of themselves and stick it to the big guy, essentially.
Well, they stick it to the big guy simply by taking care of themselves, you know, and they can affect positive change. If people do this and they start banking within their own co-ops, interest-free, then it takes all of that power away from that system. You know, and when once you start doing this, if 20 families start doing this and the people around them see the benefits they're getting from this, well, then they'll start doing it, you know. Or maybe they'll join in. The cooperative will get bigger and bigger, and eventually you have the whole town will be part of this cooperative. And like I said, the timber guy may not be wanting to put a garden in, but he can trade timber for food and for this and that. And one of the guys in the thing, oh, he does tires, or he does this. He owns the petrol station, whatever. So you can trade with your stuff then. You can get away from that system altogether. And if we do that, then the bottom drops out of it. And then they're forced to change it, implement a new system. And that can be what we want. We can dictate what that new system is. I mean, like I said, it's been a sequential series of events that's brought us here. And we've got to find what the sequence is to undo it. But we've got to stop fighting with each other. I mean, everybody's got good ideas. And there are no real leaders in this. If someone's trying to lead you, well, I think you need to lead yourself.
Right.
You really do, you know. And we've got to find a way out. And bickering isn't it. And pointing the finger at all the other researchers and anybody who has a different idea to you is not it. There's gems in all of it. So, you know, whatever we can find to rock the boat and empower the community, I support 100%.
I do have to say food prices are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just keep going up and up and up and up.
And it's not like the food's getting any better. The food is actually getting worse. We've had to resort to just eating meat a couple times a week instead of every day. And, you know,
which isn't a bad thing
health-wise. I mean, it's been really good for us, but, you know, we should be able to get food that's good for us for reasonable prices. And it seems like we're paying more to get less.
Even the organics, though. Right. I mean, I posted a picture on my Facebook wall of some organic oranges, and you can tell they were just radiated to hell. It's gotten bad.
But you could find people that would want to do this with their cooperatives, and even if they don't have any land, well, maybe one of the people, one of the growers has more land than they need. Maybe they've got an extra paddock or an extra field down there that they're not using. Maybe you could put a garden in there. If you're part of the co-op, why not? It's all about supporting each other. That means more food for him. You know, especially if everyone grows things that are kind of slightly different, so they can trade with each other even as well. And you can sell it all out of the town, sell it all in the next town, so you're not interfering with any local businesses. You're not stepping on anybody's toes. Take it to a farmer's market in the next town or something like that. So
right.
You could do this so it does work. And anything we can find to empower people, it has got to be the solution. We've got to find the steps to undo this. And it begins, like I said, with knowing who you are. And the second step is respect. We've got to start respecting each other. I mean, imagine if the whole world suddenly respected each other. The whole system would collapse by default anyway. People don't respect themselves. They don't know what they are. They judge themselves by what they look like or the whatever status they believe they have. I mean, it's ridiculous. People are programmed, they're brainwashed, and they give themselves all these yardsticks to measure themselves up with, and they attack the people around them. They attack anyone who they perceive is in a better position than them, or you know what it's like. I mean, it's all programs. We've got to put it all aside. We're in some pretty deep trouble as a species on this planet. And it's about time we paid attention and put our egos away and found a way through it. I mean, the whole thing's fiction anyway. All these rules are fiction. But we'll never get through that until we respect each other and realize that our way isn't the right way. It's the collective way. It's the way that everybody wants. It's respecting people. That's the way. We don't have to do all of this fictional rubbish and all this paper-based reality that we live in. We don't have to participate in it at all. But we're never going to get away from it if we don't respect each other.
Right. Max, I've got to say that this information is fantastic, and I think you're definitely thinking along the right terms. We have about 10 minutes left, and I just want to go back to Tony Kudo, see if he has anything else on his mind. Tony, take us away.
Yeah, I'd like to expand a little bit more on respect. Respect is not something that is taught these days. There is no respect for elders who've lived longer on this tiny planet. Maybe learned a little bit more. If it was a matter of us reteaching people how to respect, where would you start, Max?
Well, you got to respect yourself, and you've got to, you know, once you respect yourself, and as I said, if you really understand how reality works and you understand where that God spark within you comes from, that spark of sentience, it comes from the field, you realize that we're all in this together. And, you know, my perspective is what makes me unique. But we all come from the same thing. There's all these other people who have different perspectives that are just as valid. Those people are the center of their entire universe. And I'm the center of my entire universe. Of course, we all are. But all these universes overlap. And, you know, once you really understand yourself and you respect yourself and you see what you are, I think respect for others comes by default. You know, and it's easy to get drawn into arguments with people. I mean, I've been attacked no end lately for daring to even mention the APPT. Because apparently I'm supporting the New World Order, but all I'm actually looking at is that one filing that says, hey, guys, you're all free. What do you think of that? I think that's great because I already knew it. And so you get drawn into these arguments. You get drawn into these energy battles. And it's all through lack of respect. That's why people fight anybody or argue anybody. People don't step back and look at the bigger picture. They believe their idea is the only idea because they don't know what they are. They think they're the center of everybody's universe. They're only the center of their own. They're valid, absolutely 100% valid in their perspective, and no one can be them better than they can. But you've got to see that everybody else is like that as well. It isn't about you. It's about us. It's about what we do. And that's the way to do it. Know yourself. If you really, really know who you are, then respect for others happens by default.
I truly believe that.
I really, really believe that. I think that people are terrified of knowing themselves. And that's one thing I've noticed through this period as well. As much as people scream out for freedom, they're actually terrified of true freedom. Because true freedom is knowing yourself and being 100% responsible for yourself and respecting yourself and respecting those around you. That's what freedom is. And people are terrified because it's all about the fight. It's not about winning. It's about the fight. God help a world where you would have to have no one to point the finger at for your lack of ability to be yourself. you've got to blame someone else. And we need to get over that hump. We really do. You know, respect for yourself.
Reminds me of a quote I recently read. A coward stands behind freedom while a brave man stands in front of it. So, you know, a coward hides behind freedom.
Right.
That's it. While a brave man stands in front of it. And I think that's what it's come down to. I was just telling Sheree the other day, wow, you know, I haven't been pulled over by the police in about a year and a half. Totally different than when I was in Texas. But we seem to be left alone. And I think it has a lot to do with the mental state that we're in right now. We're pretty much outside of the system. The system doesn't really affect us anymore. And I hope that we can all get to that place. Tony Kudos, anything else in your mind?
That's about it. Just wanted to say what an immense pleasure it was to speak with you, Max. And I'm going to let the guys finish up in the last 10 minutes. So thank you, and please keep up the good work. You are doing astounding work, and I know you don't get all the feedback that you deserve, but trust me, your work is appreciated. Thanks, Max. Thanks, Chris and Sheree.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, Tony. Absolute pleasure to talk to you, brother, and it's an honor for you to say those things. I mean, I hope the show's helped in some ways. I mean, all I'm doing is offering my perspective. I keep telling people that. Hey, don't believe me, folks. I'm just offering you a perspective. And, but you know, it works for me, and I think the way through it all is pretty simple. So yeah, thanks for listening and thanks for the support.
Yeah, love to have you on my show sometime when you've got a couple of hours to spare. But anyway, I will bow out gracefully and, let you wind up the last 10 minutes. Thank you again, folks.
Not a problem. Happy to come on anytime.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up to the end of the broadcast, and thank you again, Max, for coming on. And this was a really, really good direction to take things. What do you see happening for 2013? You said that these next few months are going to be very important, and even about 18 months from now. Where do you see things ending up eventually?
I think we're going to wake up. I think the whole world's going to wake up. I think that we're going to make a difference this year. I think that people are going to come into their power. We're going to see all sorts of attempts for, you know, the powers that be or that think they be or that were to make things worse, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to wake up. I think that a lot of people are going to realize that they're actually free and that we can do things completely differently. I think people are going to lose the fear. I have no fear of this system at all anymore. See, that's why you haven't been put up by the cops either, mate. You don't think about it anymore. You don't attract it. You know, because once you know who you are and you know what reality is, you just don't attract that energy anymore. It just doesn't work that way. It's the energetic universe. And it mirrors back to you the energetic state that you're in. And I think the energy of everybody is rising, and it's going to mirror that back to us. I mean, even everything that I want to do with the Full Circle Project, is as radical as it may seem to people, it's not really. It's still working within their parameters. It's just a stepping stone, you know. But maybe it's a stepping stone that can go to bigger things. I mean, the biggest avalanche was started by a small pebble. So we can get through it, and I think that's what we're gonna see, right?
I actually found that quote. It was actually Henry Rollins that said this. And here's the way it is exactly. A coward hides behind freedom. A brave man stands in front of it and defends it for others. That makes a lot more sense right there.
Henry Rollins is great. Some of the talks that I've seen him give have been fantastic.
Nice.
I saw a talk that he gave when he was in Israel. It was a fantastic talk. And I'm not familiar with a lot of his stuff, but what I've heard has been great. He seems like he's a very intelligent man.
Excellent. Excellent. And what's coming up on the Crow House? When are the podcasts released? Where can people tune in? Things like that.
Well, actually, I've got to go to air in a couple of hours from now.
Okay.
That's on the American Voice Radio.
Ah, nice.
And the podcast will be up there later today or Saturday morning.
What time exactly is it?
9 o'clock Central Time.
9 o'clock Central Time. Okay, so
I think it's 1 hour from now.
One hour from now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I've got to go to air.
We need to carry your show on our network, so we'll see about restreaming it. I'll contact the network and see if we can restream the show. If it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you can download the podcast from the website. You can stream it from there.
Okay.
It's always posted on the website within a couple of hours of going to air. I have them up pretty quick.
I wanted to restream your podcast, but they're all 53 minutes. And I'm going, God, I can't fit that into an hour slot. What am I going to do with the other 7 minutes? So I don't know what 53 minutes. I thought maybe you guys are like on different clocks down there. Maybe the time goes a little bit faster down in Australia.
And well, so, no, there's a break in the middle. It's the podcasts go up there as one file, but there's a break in the middle where they have an ad break in the middle of the show. So there's a bit of news usually at the start, and there's an ad break in the middle, so it works out to be 53 or 54 minutes, depending.
Excellent. Max, thank you so much for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. It's the one you love right now because you know when the last time is going to be.
Notice it's 12:56 now, Chris. That was only 56 minutes. What's wrong? You had a different time there, and you guys are...
Well, we have a 3-minute break.